one chooses to walk the way of the Mandalore, you are both hunter and prey. This is the way.
This is the way.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
This is the way.
Wake up, Mandalorian.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise.
Hey, let's make the baby do the magic hand thing. Come on, baby. Do the magic hand thing.
What can I say? I'm an excellent judge of character.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes podcast. We continue our watch of The Mandalorian Season 2. It's Episode 7, Chapter 15, The Believer. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
And this is DeLorean Wolfgang.
Penultimate time, guys.
Yeah, I did not realize that until someone mentioned it on Twitter. I'm like, what?
Wait, like, what's penultimate?
It's the one before the last one.
Isn't that like Christmas Eve?
Yes, like the Christmas Eve of the Mandalorian show. kind of interesting. I thought, for some reason, I thought we had a few more episodes, like they would, you know, find Baby Grogu, get him back, and then do something, but I guess not. I guess the next episode will most likely be, I don't know.
I know, I thought this show was running through December 30th, and then I looked at the schedule, and it's actually 18th, and I'm like, oh, there's less time.
Oh my God.
Oops.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a fun journey thus far.
It's given us plenty to talk about. I do know that.
Well, yeah, in considering in the world we live in right now where there is no pop culture news, but as of lately, there might be.
Disney's making pop culture news.
Disney's making the news, man.
But they also own almost everything, so I guess that is all the news. I don't know. Yeah, anyways.
Well, yeah, but you know what? That could almost be its... A whole episode on its own.
What?
Yeah.
It could be.
It could be.
So we'll focus on Chapter 15, The Believer. We'll start with our non-spoiler portion of the program. So if, in case this is your first time, what took you so long? But we're glad you're here.
Yes.
And so we're going to start out with a couple minutes to tell us or tell you our thoughts, and then we'll go in scene by scene and spoil the entire episode. So give us a couple minutes. Who wants to start?
Not it.
I always go first.
So, do you want me to go first?
I went first last week.
I've been going first every week since the show started. But
so
yes, Trevor,
here's my
first
thoughts on this episode.
Okay.
You know, it was decent. It was another side quest, but at the same time, it wasn't a horrible side quest. It was a fun one. I still have so many questions in past episodes that still have yet to be answered, and I've got questions in this episode that need to be answered, and I'm doubting you guys will even have the answers for this, because it's a lot of lame questions. But, hey, I still had fun. That's the thing. This show is just all around just a good time. You're gonna have fun no matter what episode you're on. So I'm still into it, still digging it. I'm sure by the end of this episode, I'm gonna be going, oh wow, that episode actually sucked, because I'm talking to you guys and you guys ruin everything that I like.
Ruin everything.
So that's where I'm at, fans.
Okay.
So for me, I think this is one of the best episodes of the season, because there was just a tonal shift of the entire thing to be more gritty and just like, it felt more like kind of where Rogue One does for Star Wars compared to like the fancy Grogu stuff and like the goofy stuff. And so I really just liked that they kind of went back to the core ideas of Star Wars, and just there was depth to the conversation. It wasn't just like weird, unnecessary dialogue. They actually got on like topics. They could have dived deeper, but they got into deeper topics, but then they still balanced it with their usual action sequences.
I like it.
And I think that does raise a few questions as well, which are saying. So I will ask these questions when we get there.
Nice. I agree with Trevor. I think this was probably one of the best, if not the best, episodes of the season. And that's because of what I like to get out of Star Wars, which is a lot of the stuff that happened in the dialogue this episode. I was a little worried at first. I wasn't too sure where this was going to go. I thought it was going to be just a typical side quest, but it technically isn't a side quest, because they really do need this information to get to Baby Grogu. So it's not like they did this mission for somebody else. It is for Mando and his task at hand. But it did kind of have that feel, right? Like it's another mission that isn't really something we're going to see with Grogu. But it ended up being a lot more deep than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be a silly throwaway kind of episode with Bill Burr showing up for the goofs, and it ended up surprising me.
Yep.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, cool, guys. Before we jump into the spoiler portion, how about we jump into some of this social media stuff? Hey, if you aren't following us over on Twitter yet, make sure you do that. Make sure you follow us over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Hit that bell. Hit the subscribe. Don't care. Just
follow
do
now.
It. Yes. Okay. Hit the like button. I think that helps somewhat. And then, hey, if you have time and if you want to, rate and review our podcast over on iTunes, because all of this is priceless to us and it's free for you. Wow, I did that backwards. Because
it still works.
Maybe that was a Yoda thing. Ooh, priceless for us. Free for you. Cheap.
Let's awesome. Not do Yoda impressions ever
spoiler
again.
Okay. Time.
Well, we can't do Yoda. Now that we're in spoiler territory, we can't do Yoda impressions because there was no Yoda this episode.
That's fair.
Well, there never was.
There
there's
hasn't
no
been Yoda
either.
Episode. Yoda t- any of these episodes yet, but there's time.
His force has been there.
There you go. Yeah, this was, for those of you who have not watched it yet, I mean, we are talking about spoilers, but yeah, it was baby Grogu-less of an episode. Which I think for some of us didn't really realize that until the end of the episode. We're like, oh yeah. He wasn't in it at all.
Because we were having so much fun in the episode, there was a lot of action. And the dialogue was solid dialogue. And the character development was pretty awesome too. Like, for instance, Bill Burr's character. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting to like Bill Burr's character in this episode. Because I originally didn't like Bill Burr the first time we met him. And whenever I heard the announcement of him coming in for this episode, I pretty much rolled my eyes because I'm like, great, another comedian on here again. What's the point of bringing him in? Why do we have to have him in the show? And then he totally surprised me in this episode, and I really dug him.
Well, I get it. Let's start from the top then.
So interesting about just one thing about Baby Grogu is that without him being in it, there wasn't that sharp, like, we need to transition to some goofy scene. Every single scene he's been in season two is like, oh, look, he's being cute and goofy. It's always this weird tonal shift, like, let's stop everything we're doing. Look, we're doing Baby Yoda, and then it goes back to the episode. So they didn't need that this episode, and so it flowed better with the entire narrative, and it gives them time to actually discuss things.
Very true. Yeah, it always seems like some of those scenes are just kind of forced in there, and then the whole like tone just kind of like stops. It's like serious stuff and, you know, war, and then, oh, look, Baby Grogu is like blowing snot bubbles. Okay.
Well, so this has been, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but this was the first episode that Baby Grogu is not in. I think the first episode of season one was the only other one that didn't have Baby Grogu.
Well, he's in that one.
He was in it. Yeah.
He was in that one?
Yeah, he points at the end.
Oh, it was the very, very end. Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that was episode two, but okay.
Yeah, he's
cool.
Been
so
in
this
every
is
episode,
the first one. Every episode.
This one. So crazy. We start off, we get to meet Bill Burr's character. He's named Mayfeld. And we get to have him be referred to as inmate 34667 because he's in like a work camp where he's working on old wreckage from various wars and stuff. And literally, I only wrote down in my 34667 because they sent it like a dozen times at the start. And
what was that robot? That robot just kept saying it.
Everybody said it. What's her name? It came in and had to say it like three times herself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's very Les Miserables. I didn't even know his number. It's like, we know who he is.
Just and it wasn't relevant to any of the story, and it wasn't funny. It was just annoying.
But the one thing that I really did like about this scene was that planet.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing all the dead TIE fighters and seeing the droids. And I guarantee you, if you sat there and paused it and just looked around, and I guarantee you there's some really cool stuff in that scene. Or just in that area. I really liked it because it was something different.
Yeah. It reminded me of the beginning of Jedi Fallen Order, where you meet Cal Kestis for the first time. He's on this like junk planet. You're like, oh my gosh, there's that ship and this kind of ship and that kind of droid. It was that kind of scene. It was a lot of fun. I like seeing that kind of stuff.
See, in a planet like this, I would sit there and I'd think, this is a perfect spot for Jawas. Why aren't there 1,000 Jawas here?
I don't know. Maybe they're not native to that planet. I don't know.
Well, I think
Jawas don't fly ships.
Yeah, I think they're smart enough to know that kind of stuff.
So they can't leave Tatooine. They're just Tatooine, this is where they're at now.
This is the way. Life. I have spoken.
Yeah.
And so he's freed pretty much, so now he can work with Mando. And this sets off the mission. So we have everybody back on board. Boba Fett's there. And since the Razor Crest was destroyed last episode, we're not using the Slave One. It's going to be our transport reason. That's pretty much the main reason that Boba Fett's in the entire show, is just for transport of Mandalorian. But the one cool thing about Boba Fett in this scene is that his armor's glossed and cleaned. I don't know if he went to like a shop. It was just new.
It was a spit shine. It was a quick spit shine in the ship. Just kind of spouting it and rubbed it up a bit. And it was good. Good like new.
Here's the thing, like, that thing got definitely a beautiful coat of paint, but here's the one thing that if you sit there and look at the helmet, I don't know if he painted it, whoever painted it, still missed, like, dings and spots. It's like, hold on, you just went ahead and you got yourself all nice and gussied up and all this beautiful paint, but you still like to keep a couple dings and scratches on there so we can all see it?
He wants to show that he's a tough guy. He's like, hey, look, me, I'm still rough. I just want to wear some polish.
But jumps to the comedy bit of it with Bill Burr, where Boba Fett walks off of the Slave One. Mm-hmm. He walks off and Bill Burr's like, oh, I thought you were some other guy. And then the other guy walks off and I don't know why, but that made me chuckle.
The shiny gear. Is the nice outfit. It's like, oh, you mean me, the big boss man?
Well, so, both have shiny gear now. I know. And it's fantastic.
Crazy.
Looks good.
Then we get the whole exposition of what this entire episode is going to be about. You know, the picture behind you, if anybody's watching on YouTube, it shows the height difference.
Yeah.
Like, it's a perspective thing because he's standing further back, but it's still, there's a height difference.
You're pretty short for a Mandalorian.
Yeah, but isn't Boba Fett? I thought he was a tall guy, unless that was another perspective thing during.
No, he's a little tiny.
The last episode.
I don't know.
I think he's like 5 foot tall.
He might have had the high ground whenever they had him talking to Mando.
Maybe. It might have been a camera angle.
High ground.
That's all. But anyways, all right. So we do this little fun little introduction. We get him on board the ship.
Yeah. So. Mayfeld, the reason that they freed him is because he knows Imperial clearance and protocols, so cool, that's good. And he's like, we need to go to Morak, which is a secret Imperial terminal I need to access. That's the only way I can figure out Moff Gideon's location. And in doing so, this planet there has a refinery for this special material that's highly explosive. We know that's going to be coming up time and time again. So we get this whole exposition part. Okay, we got this story, let's go.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And at this part, welcome to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah, on it location. Looked like they flew right into Jurassic Park, because that's exactly what the scenes looked like. It was in the dense forest that looked with mountains and beaches and beautiful trees, all that stuff. And it's like, dude, we just went from Southern California to Hawaii. Two episodes.
Maybe. Vacation time.
Why not?
So now that we got to have to go get Redonia, they realize that there's particular protocols, and one of them is that they have to be scanned by this special system, and it turns out that everybody is on the radar, that it would pop up negatively if they were scanned.
Everyone's
into
wanted.
Said system. Oh, no, I can't be scanned. Oh, no, I can't be scanned. So
what do you
Mando has to volunteer himself to go with Bill Burr.
Yep. Bilbur Baggins, help me with my quest.
But how? How is he supposed to do it? He can't show his face to anybody. Not to a living soul,
that
is.
Yeah, and so luckily he's scanning in while we're in this discussion, and there's troopers who, guess what? Every type of trooper, whether they're scout troopers or snow troopers, whatever, they always wear helmets. And so these guys have these cool looking helmets that drive these transport vehicles. Works perfectly.
Yep. There you go. So yeah, what they do is they knock out, they do a Home Alone and knock out the two guys and then put on their clothes. Yep. Actually, that never happens in Home Alone.
So yeah, that was a weird reference. Like, scratch that. You could have said it was the original Star Wars if we wanted to stay with the Star Wars Han and Luke.
There we go. Let's go with this. I don't know. I've been watching a lot of Christmas movies lately, so that was just on the tip of my tongue there. But
ooh, I
yes,
feel bad for you.
They stole the Stormtrooper's outfit or the whatever outfit, which, by the way, silly as ever. I don't know why Star Wars has to continuously do that, but whatever.
Their token thing, stuff.
Yeah. It's what they
thing.
Do.
It's a Star Wars thing.
It is.
And so then we go down to the transport vehicle because we have our plan. And for some reason, Cara Dune comes along just so she can go into the thing and punch them. Like, literally, she's not on the mission. She's not applicable to the mission. But she comes along, and pretty much the only reason is so that he can take his Mandalorian armor off and hand it to her. So she can walk away with it. Because if he took it off, he couldn't just leave it in a sack on the side of the road.
Yeah, what is he going to do? Here, just cover it up with some dirt somewhere, some leaves on it.
Well, she's the muscle. She had to go in there and punch him. She can't go in there guns a-blazing because then they would have fire shots all over their uniforms whenever they go and sneak into the Empire.
What if they scanned her, though?
It was weird. Right, it was weird. I was like, why is she there when it first happened? But that's okay. That's fine.
So funny. I don't even think about this stuff.
I thought about how long did it take Mando to change. He had to take off all that Mandalorian armor and then put on all the
trooper
armor.
And where did he go?
Was
he seen?
Did
like
they take like an hour
him?
Before they're going on their mission?
That's a lot of pieces.
Go ahead.
No, that's a lot of pieces. That's all.
Like, well, then Stormtrooper uniforms don't seem like it would be all that easy to put on either.
Nope. It was at least an hour. They're just sitting around. Yeah. I gotta go change, guys.
Yeah, what was their conversation between Mayfeld and Cara Dune? Like, what do you think they were talking about? Nothing. Probably just glaring at each other.
But you know what? I guarantee you there's a lot of footage that got left on the cutting room floor from that. Has to be.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So have you ever seen his face?
Yeah, like, have you? I know, have you? I was wondering.
Came close once.
Think it's all scarred under there? What do you think? All mangled?
Well, they hang out with hideous monsters all the time, so yeah, I don't think, even if he did have a scar, I don't think they would care.
Probably not. Probably not in that galaxy.
Hideous monsters. Aliens.
Yeah. And so then Mayfeld does his little small talk and Mando's having none of it. He essentially just glares at him a few times where he's just trying to talk to pass the time. And we're going along. And then finally he gets to the talking point that the Empire and the New Republic are essentially the same thing. That we're invaders to everyone else. No matter who, what leadership you like to call it is. All these planets that you've colonized hate you regardless.
Pretty much. Kind of interesting. It's kind of like that part in Return in The Last Jedi, you know, where they talk about like how the same people buy the same, you know, or spend the same money on the ships, whether they're bad or good.
Yeah, the Benicio del Toro part that everyone hated.
Even though it's great.
The theme is great.
Yeah, his character might have been a little weird, sure. I get it. But that whole scene was perfect. And it was reiterated here and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that kind of stuff in Star Wars, the ambiguity, the grayness of it. It's like, it is.
We always
the
know the good versus bad, like, oh, Luke is good and Darth Vader is bad. We know this. And to see that Star Wars has the same problems that humanity always has and all species and cultures seem to have in our story narrative telling is pretty cool.
What? Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Go ahead. Oh, well, I was going to say, I like that this show is kind of showing it's in a way you're blurring the lines. Like, it's not just absolute because I believe what the Sith only deal in absolutes. But I mean, at the end of the day, you're sitting there thinking about like these stormtroopers, like when they finally get I'm rushing ahead a little bit and I'm sure we'll jump back, but when they get the transport vehicle into the base and you see all these people cheering and excited and stuff, it's like, oh, there's a lot of just regular people here. They just so happen to be a part of something that
they probably just needed a job, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, they needed a job.
Homeworld got taken or whatever.
Think of how many people work at Facebook. I mean,
right.
Exactly. Not all of them are evil. But like, look at what is it? And what was it? I think Family Guy made this joke of the, of how the, or was it? Yeah, it had to have been Family Guy. But look at the contractors and the people who were building the Death Star. And then, I mean, you blow that up. That there was people on there who had families who were just trying to make money to bring home to their families. Like, that didn't mean
they're
that the they
cook
were
on the
there.
Ship. They're like, I just had to cook some stuff for people today. Dang it!
Exactly.
Happened
and
to be there.
All of a sudden, now they're in the middle of something that's really bad. I mean,
I know.
Whatever. It but just it makes you think a little bit deeper than just black and white. You know.
Yep.
But what was really nice about this scene too is that Mandalorian was kind of like us in a way, like the viewer kind of like, no, I don't believe we're not the same. No, that's not true. None of this is no. He's like kept like denying this. You know, he had to Mayfeld had to break him down pretty much. Like, no, let me keep talking and explain this a little more to you. And by the end of the episode, I think you might see that we are more similar than you think. It was neat.
Right.
Was
nice he got in that classic "we are nothing alike" quote because.
Yep.
And my one kind of disappointment is that this episode was 36 minutes, and that includes all the end credits and the opening credits and stuff. They could have went a few more minutes diving into this discussion, and they have another discussion that they could have spent a few more minutes and made it a 45 minute episode and dived into these dialogue sequences.
Yeah, I agree. It could have been longer, unfortunately.
Well, but that's been every episode so far. Every episode could have been longer. It's not
except
like they're
for the first episode, which was way too long.
I would prefer way too long than too short.
But no, the first episode was just doing basic stuff. Like, I understand the runtime was good, but it was like, oh, look, there's a big dragon snake thing. Let's spend a bunch of time. That's the
Let's
only
spend a
distinction.
Bunch of time, like moving containers.
So
and then
well,
walking
another
across a field and then moving containers again. Like, okay.
Right. So jumping back to those episodes, it's still kind of bizarre to think that those episodes exist for no reason. Like, they're the only reason for him to go in that first episode to meet Cobb Vanth was just to get Boba Fett's armor, and then Boba Fett follows him and doesn't show up again until episode 5. Like, that was the whole thing with episode 1. Like, that was there was nothing else there.
Yeah. Yeah.
The season's uneven.
It's so bizarre to think about, because even whenever we think back to I want to say this was episode 2 where they see all of the, or was it 3 where they see all of the clones or whatever in the tubes that get destroyed?
Oh, that's 4. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, now we don't hear anything of that again.
Especially because the Death Troopers were actually robotic. Like, I thought those tube guys were going to be the Death Troopers, but once we saw that they're just Iron Man guys, it took away the intrigue from episode 4. But yeah,
right,
definitely
right,
episode
exactly.
1. It was just about getting the coordinates, right? So then they could find the frog lady. And then episode 2 was the frog lady could get to the guy to connect to a Mandalorian. And then episode 3, they meet Bo-Katan and that meets with Ahsoka. Everything has just been sequenced. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Which.
Don't look big picture at this show.
I'm looking too big picture, man. Oh, man. The canvas is huge.
Kind of is, which is why I think I kind of enjoyed this episode. It was like, forget all that. Let's just have this little, you know, story about, you know, the Empire.
Right.
Right.
Oh, God. They could have ruined this episode if they brought in those Death Troopers again. Ugh, that ruined that last one for me.
All right, let's keep going.
And so then when we're doing this discussion, it's running down, it's running its course. And then there's an explosion in the distance, which you just see through the front windshield. And it's pretty cool just seeing it off in the distance. And then you start to see the voice, or you hear the voiceover of like central command of the Empire and how they're panicking. And this whole time I'm thinking, imagine all the times we've seen Luke or somebody invade. And imagine if we saw the stormtrooper side of things where they're like, there's this guy running around with some like laser sword.
What's going on, man? He's like throwing me with my mind.
Well, because it's not like they're trained to know what to do against a guy with a laser sword that can actually stop the lasers mid-force.
We're shooting them straight on and they're not hitting him.
Right.
Not a single one is making it, sir, I swear. I don't know why. Must be powerful wizards, I don't know.
Well, that is fun to think about, to put yourself in a stormtrooper's suit in a way.
Yeah. That would be a good show. Yeah. They announced 10 new Star Wars shows. Not one of them was how they could just do it, like animated, like Below Deck type episode.
I was about to say, just like the Below Deck or whatever that is. What is it? Is it Below Deck?
I think it's Below Deck.
Yeah.
Below Deck is that yacht show.
Oh. I don't know. Yeah, I thought that was the Star Trek one.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
They definitely need to do it because in this episode, you actually do get to see the stormtroopers just being normal people and having conversations.
Right. And so we have two explosions before they run into their own explosion. It turns out there's pirates who are trying to get the transport and blow them up because I don't know why the pirates want to blow them up and not just steal the stuff and resell it. I thought pirates were out for money, not just to destroy things, but whatever. That's fine. So there's pirates coming and then Mando has to fight the pirates and he has a laser blaster and it literally runs out of ammo. He took like 6 shots and he used up his laser blaster ammo. I didn't know this was such a thing until this show existed, but they've done it twice now.
Or it malfunctioned. I'm not too sure what happened, but yeah, I've never seen that before either in Star Wars. That was new.
Right.
Makes great television.
The reason they did it just so Mando could use some hand to hand combat because he hasn't really done it. And they're like, look, he can do hand to hand stuff too.
Well, I think the other reason why they decided to do this was that they wanted to show how powerful his armor is because he's not wearing his Beskar armor in this episode. So it's like, okay, if we do hand-to-hand combat, we can show the pieces of armor breaking away when they get hit by these pirates. You know, it's like, oh, his armor is pretty important to him because at the end of the fighting, I mean, he looks winded and hurt. He never has looked like that before. So it was good for us to see that, I think.
Well, and I think Trevor said it last week, is that's kind of Mandalorian's superpower, is his armor.
It is.
Right once he takes that armor off, he's now just a normal
guy. Just a normal guy.
It's like Tony Stark.
If he would have gotten shot, then he's
take that armor
done.
Away. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. But so then we get to the point where that whole fighting on top of the transport vehicle, more and more pirates come in no matter how long and how many he gets away. It looked like Fast and Furious. Like literally this sequence, it looked like a Fast and Furious movie for like 10 minutes. And I don't know why. It took me out of the show. Otherwise, the entire episode's really good. But the Fast and Furious thing where it just doesn't matter how many he gets rid of. And then they put the detonator right on the stuff to blow up. And it's like a 10-minute countdown or something. First, the dude, like, takes 10 minutes.
Forever.
And he, like, stares at him. Look, I'm putting it on. Do you see me? Hey, wait, look, I'm putting the detonator on. And then he gets rid of 2 guys, and it's still ticking. And then as soon as he picks and throws it back, it fires right away. What kind of timer did he put on that damn detonator?
Like, super delay. Make sure he can get off. And, just in case I have to fight. Give me some time, you know? It's like your iPhone. You have like a little timer for when you take a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, you chose like the 2-minute one. That's all.
It's okay.
Well, I will say the pirate's vehicle is pretty cool. I kind of dug those, like, it almost looks like a catamaran that flies. I don't know. It was pretty neat.
It's kind of like the vehicles they use in Rise of Skywalker.
I don't really remember.
It's in the
it's
trailer.
It's kind of like that.
You don't even have to remember
Jones
the movie.
I don't know.
Wait, after that detonation happens, they zoom into the pirate. Like, for some reason, like, he's going through the explosion, and they zoom into his face just to have, like, a goofy... It was the goofiest part of the episode, and it was just weird. It just stood out that he was like, oh, goofy take on pirate's face. Like, come on, director, dude.
Well, so this... This director, he did, what, 2 episodes last season?
I know he did episode 6, the one with Bill Burr last season.
Right. Yeah, and they must be buddies or something. Bill Burr's like, hey, man, get me back in there somehow.
I don't think Bill Burr wants to be in Star Wars, but that's just me.
Well, then, why did... They could have literally chosen anybody in the entire galaxy to bring back for this episode. If Bill Burr really doesn't want to be in
with him. I'm just saying, it doesn't seem like the kind of guy is like, I love Star Wars. Just saying.
Hey, you never know, man. You never know. Look at some of these Funko fanatics, man. You would never guess that a WWF wrestler is going to be obsessed with Funko toys.
True.
You know, so who knows? Maybe Bill Burr's obsessed with Star Wars.
But yeah, anyways, moving on to the next scene.
So Rick Famuyiwa is the director. Just yes. So we know his name. But
I didn't want to try pronouncing that name.
I butchered his name, and I apologize.
Oh, I was about to say congrats. I thought it sounded great.
And so then we get to the point where he's gotten rid of, I think, 4 total pirate ships, and now there's 5 more behind him because I guess this is the biggest pirate crew on any planet ever. They just have
multiply. They're like gremlins. You can't blow them up. You blow them up, more are gonna spawn.
It's like Hydra, yeah, the same thing. Don't cutting off it. The heads. And so then we get to the point where, oh my god, I'm overwhelmed with pirates. And then TIE fighters come, and when TIE fighters shoot our heroes, they miss. But when our protagonists needing to be defended, they have excellent aim and they take out everybody and they avoid the transport that has highly explosive material on it.
Crazy.
It's amazing. And same thing. So then they make it through the gate. They go across the bridge and there's all these stormtroopers and they are just nailing all of the pirate guys. Like, you know, if it was all like Boba Fett and everybody Cara Dune, they miss all the shots.
I'm glad that you guys pointed that out because I'm watching that going, oh, wow. Look at these these are the best stormtroopers in the galaxy.
Like ever, right?
They're hitting everything.
Until later. Well, wait, just.
I almost was like, sitting there going, oh, I bet they're sitting there on their comms going, dude, did you see that? I got him. I got one of them.
It's like when you're playing a video game and you turn off like easy mode and hard mode in between different levels. That's all it was.
Nice.
Oh, so that was fun. It was a fun juxtaposition. And so then everybody cheers. Alex already pointed out, but so all the stormtroopers there, they cheer that this is the first and only transport that made it. So they're all happy and stuff. And the one part here is that Bill Burr didn't put his helmet back on. Like,
which is interesting, right?
If you're going into all these people where you're like trying to be incognito, are you going to be like, let me take my helmet off? And like, why didn't he grab it or anything? Because then this comes in right in the next scene by him having his damn helmet off.
Right. Yeah, it's strange. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was weird too. I was like, aren't you trying to be like on the down low? I guess not.
But them coming in and seeing all of the stormtroopers and all of the Empire kind of getting excited, it kind of reminded me of when, like, for instance, Luke Skywalker comes back after destroying the Death Star and everybody's, you know, hooting and hollering. And I don't know, it's just a lot of celebrations that seem very familiar in older show or older movies and whatnot. I don't know.
It was done 100% on purpose.
Right. Because
for the Empire to do it is different.
Exactly. Yeah. It humanizes the Empire in a way.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're all good, but it does show them that, that's right, they are people. They're not like robots or anything. You know?
Right. Only some of them.
Only some.
And so then, since his helmet is off, he needs to go to this next phase where he has to scan his face and put in like this little USB drive and find the actual Grand Moff Gideon's location. But he sees this guy and he's like, I used to serve under him and he might recognize me. Well, if you were wearing your helmet, maybe you could have just walked over and done it. And he wouldn't have given you a second glance. But the reason his helmet is off is just so Mando has to go over there and do it himself.
Pretty much.
Which this was interesting to me because wouldn't you think that they would have a database of every if you're having your face scanned, they most likely have, if you're a stormtrooper, they probably have your face already scanned so they can go, you're one of us, rather than I'm just some random guy that can walk up, put a USB in and show my face. Oh, you're a dude with a face.
If you have a face clearance.
You got a face. Let's
I was
do this.
Thinking that too.
What
I'm
do you
like,
wanna
what?
Know?
How did he get clearance to this? I don't
do know. You want to know the plans? Do you know where this guy is? We've got everything because you got a face.
Yeah, because it made sense if Mayfeld went up because he was part of the Empire. You know, he has data records. His face has been scanned in at some point. So does this either A, hint that Pedro Pascal was somehow in the Empire at some point, or that their system doesn't work.
Yeah, I think it's the latter.
I do too, because it looks like in his backstory he was taken by Mandalorian people, or he was saved by Mandalorian people back when he was like 10.
Yes, yeah. So there's no way.
So,
I mean, there may be a way, but I'm pretty sure there was no way.
Cool.
He was clearly a fish out of water in that scene, you can tell. So he had no idea what was going on.
But we get to see Pedro Pascal's face for the first time. That's the big thing that happened in this episode. Oh my God.
Second time, because we saw it the first time last season, but yes.
But this is the first time anyone this else has seen it.
Yeah, anyone else has seen him.
Oh yeah, human eyes.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, whatever. I don't know, are they considered humans? They're not considered, are they?
They're not humans.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding, I was just being silly. Yes, they're
they're still humanoid species, creatures, yeah.
Humanoids, yes. They're just not from Earth or anything like that.
They could be.
Right. You never know.
From Earth?
Who knows? This is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There's at some point in our history, you know, where Adam and Eve were actually the first founders when we used to be on Mars, and then we had to set like a last jettison over to start a new colony on Earth, and it was Adam and Eve. It's the same idea.
Well, that's so funny, because we now have to find a way to get back to Mars and recolonize Mars because we're all going to die
circle,
on Earth.
Man.
It's just constant. Full humans,
circle,
dude.
Time's a flat circle. Like Russ Cole says, time is a flat circle.
Well,
anyway. Let's colonize we get to see his face.
So. Yeah, so again, so Prog said that he was fish out of water. He can't really, he doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know his TK number. He can't even say TK0421 because
right,
he's
to say
ever
anything.
Seen.
Lord.
And so, luckily, Bill Burr comes in to save the day and literally shows the face to the guy that he's worried about showing his face to. And if he would have just showed his face to in the beginning, Mando wouldn't have taken his helmet off and we wouldn't have this whole sequence. So, this was really dumb.
It was awkward.
It
was weird
writing.
It was
super bizarre. Yeah. That was some weird writing.
It's like the dialogue writing was really great this episode, but the actual plot writing was terrible.
Yes, agreed.
It's like, just what? Like, who? Was there two different people writing this episode, or were they just not good at writing plot? I'm not too sure.
Yep. And so then Bill Burr comes up with the funny line that he was, he can't hear that well, he was damaged. And so he's like, you got to speak up. And it was actually funny when the dude said, what's your name?
That's great. Fantastic.
But this part is where it leads to something that just ripped me away from this scene. And that's when Bill Burr says, we got to start writing our TPS reports.
Yeah,
that right there ruined this for me. This whole scene, because I'm sitting there going,
it was like a record scratch moment. I was like, stop.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, TPS reports. Are they in the back room watching Office Space? And then, I don't know. So bad. Why bring up something?
He probably
so
just
ad libbed
that line, and they just said, go.
He must have. And they thought, oh, that's funny. Let's keep it in the show.
That was funny. Hey, Bill, that was funny. Yeah, hey, we're going to redo it. Just say that again, though.
Right?
Ugh, so dumb.
And so then they tried to set up a little drama, but the dude just wants to get a drink. And so they go do that. And then this is when we get to probably the best sequence, where they could have just played it cool and the dude would have left him alone. But of course, Mayfeld's like, I'm not taking the easy way out. I'm going to start antagonizing this guy over these past slights that I had because I'm in prison for life. Like, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to take my shot. I hate this guy. And so we get this whole dialogue based on that.
That was fun.
Which the dialogue was pretty solid, but seeing Mando's face.
Yeah, he's like, shut up.
If you've ever seen the movie, Not Another Teen Movie, where the kid is sitting there mouthing off to the teacher, and then the other kid turns around and goes, Jay, stop. Like, that's what I'm imagining Mando doing, going, stop.
Stop it. What are you doing? Kick him under the table. Pretty much.
He looked
actually pretty terrified, I have to say.
Yeah.
Pedro did a good job there.
It's a fun idea, though, just that there was Operation Cinder, and he's telling there's like 5 or 10,000 actual troops on the ground. You know, these are human lives that you just send in to get killed. And what was the actual point? You know, the Empire fell. What did we actually gain from this whole thing? It gets into that whole idea that the Empire isn't just a collection of robots or not actual creatures that have their own lives and personalities that you can just snap away with stupid decisions by these commanding officers.
Exactly. You right. could tell that upset Mayfield a lot. You know, he was getting like visibly upset.
Yeah, he probably knew guys who got killed.
Well, right. And that's like, what he says. He says right. that he knew. I mean, his whole squad got killed, and he was one yeah. of the last survivors of that squad mm-hmm. or whatever. But the whole time, the officer is sitting there still just
defending it,
grinning right, away, saying,
it's
"This
for
is
for the greater good." Well, of
yeah.
course,
it's for the greater good. Yeah. Yeah. In his own way, saying, "This is the way."
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, scary. Yeah, the commanding officer, he also says, oh, everybody talks about wanting freedom, but what they really want is order. And we have this new weapon that we're going to use this stuff to create, and it's going to put us all into, you know, big bad stuff. And this kind of sets the groundwork for the First Order coming back eventually, because the New Republic sucks, and that's obviously an inevitability. But he finally toasts to the Empire, and then we get a somewhat surprising thing. Well, Bill Burr actually just shoots him. Like, I thought he might, like, do it, like, on the DL or something, but nah.
Nope, just straight up done.
It was pretty good, though.
It was.
That was pretty wild.
Because it's like that moment where, like, they both kind of looked at each other like, all right, well, I guess we're in it now.
Well, I will say this. So this whole scene, Pedro Pascal does have his helmet off. It was a little refreshing to see his face and see him actually acting.
Right.
Like talk about the most perfect acting gig you could possibly get, where you never have to actually like show emotion. You just have to have a helmet on and do some karate kicks every now and again.
He does tilt his head really good to show emotion. Yes. Yeah. Kind of like Baby Yoda does.
Baby Yoda shows more emotion than Mando has in the last two seasons.
But not in this episode.
Not in this episode, baby.
Ha ha. Take that, Grogu.
And so then they go and take out the entire room. So there's like 10 guys in this room, and they take them all out before even a shot is fired in their direction. So that's super cool.
Because now they can't shoot. Now they don't
and then all these guys
anything.
Are coming through the corridor, and they all miss, like, they're the classic stormtroopers.
Easy
they
mode
forgot
on.
What they just
exactly.
did.
All right. Perfect.
Oh, good stuff.
Easy escape.
You know what, guys? We're sitting here laughing and chuckling about this, and Baby Yoda's sitting in chains. We should be upset about this.
I'm not.
Yeah.
That puppet should not be in chains, my friends.
He's fine. He's strong in the force. Probably just taking a nap. Probably yeah. use one.
He used all that force up using the signal yeah. and then throwing those stormtroopers around goofily.
So how did Mando and Bill Burr get out of this situation?
So first, luckily, there was a trooper helmet that was just sitting aside. And so that Bill Burr can hand it to Mando and say, I never saw your face. And so then he has the helmet back on the rest of the way. And so then they can just break out this window. And I'm like, he doesn't have a jetpack. Are they going to jump into the water? And they didn't do any fugitive jump or anything cool like that. Instead, the two sharpshooters.
I know. I thought about the fugitive. I'm like, oh, they're going to do it. Here it is. The fugitive. Nope.
Nope. It's and then right. the two sharpshooters go and take everybody out. And then they crawl yeah. to safety.
Yeah.
Actually, Boba Fett comes in, and when he does, it's actually really cool because his ship first appears in like the top right or the top left of the screen, really small. And it's just, it's a fun little detail where it's just a little bit of CGI, but it makes it feel like there's distance and like space to the whole environment.
Yeah, and they swoops yeah. over them. It was kind of cool.
For
that
sure.
That was a neat little spot.
Now,
Slave
One's
always cool to see flying around too.
Yeah, I loved when they actually get on board of Slave One, and you get to see the inside of Slave
Finally,
One.
Finally, yeah. Like, how does he sit? How does he? Is he always shoot like this and like that? Like, how does he move? And like, oh, it's the whole interior moves with it. That was fantastic.
I love the. It's. I mean, it's a full on gyrosphere in there. Hey, where
shout out to the Gateway Arch. So for those of you who have never been to St. Louis, in the Gateway Arch, there's an elevator that does the same thing. It's like a ball. And as it goes up, it turns like a washing machine. It's fantastic. It's fun.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that.
Last time I was in that, I was like 10. Yeah, but so I still fun. Remember being... I remember going to the top of that, and all they had was these little windows that you could just peer... Ooh, okay.
Last time I went, It was so foggy, they weren't letting anybody up. Like, you couldn't even see the top half of the arch. And I was like, yay, this is fun.
That sucks. It should have at least let you go up, you know? Because this part of the fun is that elevator. Like, it's unique, and there's no other elevator like it. Anyways, it was just kind of cool to see the interior look like that. It was like a throwback to my childhood.
And so then once they're boarded the ship, Mayfeld gets to blow up the Redonia on the actual base and just... Because he heard that the guy was going to create a new weapon, and he's like, I'm not letting them have that power. And so he takes the one shot, and it blows up the entire base. And then two TIE fighters come out of the smoke, and then this is when we get to see the super awesome shockwave grenade. Like, this is one of the best things they've ever used on the show. He just drops it.
As soon as I saw it drop, I'm like, is it? There it is. We're going to do it.
And it was great. It was greatly executed. It was just awesome.
Yeah, so what, I nerded out. Where have you guys seen that before?
In the second movie, what was it called? The Attack of the Clones, I think it was, when he was escaping Jango Fett in the he was like flying around all the asteroids and stuff.
Oh. It was cool. Yeah. All right. He's like, God, man. Oh, clearly I am not the Star Wars person here.
I like that kind of stuff. I like weapons and ships in Star Wars. So that was a lot of fun to see.
A real vessel head you are.
It was really good CGI, too, to rip apart. Because it didn't just, like, the TIE fighters didn't just explode. They, like, ripped into pieces. You saw part of the wings still left over because it takes out the center of them. It was just really great.
Yeah. Well, and I like that you get to see from the angle of the sharpshooters as well. They're from the bottom looking up. Wait, am I thinking of something else right now? I'm sorry.
Know.
Holy crud. Sorry, I've had a long day.
It's okay.
Anyways, let's move on.
Right, so then that's completely done. We got rid of that threat, and so now we can kind of just relax. And so somehow, in some way, Mando completely changed his entire outfit. Cara Dune got that big bag of his outfit to him, and now he's back in his usual attire. Like, I think only like 2 minutes have passed, but he's completely changed outfits, and I guess she was just carrying it with her up to the sharpshooting point. I don't know how he got the armor back or anything.
Well, and he most off likely screen, changed, you know, in front of all of them.
Yeah, he's so like, hey, guys.
I'm imagining him putting on his helmet and having to strip down to, like, his boxers, and his boxers have little Baby Yoda's faces all over it. And he's got to change it to...
Everybody turn around. Oh, yeah, I wanted to see that.
Don't you think? I saw, just... see you, Cara Dune.
Cara Dune, what are you up to?
But did we miss the fact that Bill Burr sharpshoots the base and blows up the entire base?
Yeah, I said that before the TIE Fighters.
He did that before the TIE Fighters? How come there was only two TIE Fighters on this whole planet, too?
They're just pirates. How many TIE Fighters do they need?
It's just pirates!
Yeah, cool. They probably don't need too many.
And so then they acquired the coordinates, and so then he gets to send a message to Gideon, and it's verbatim that Gideon sent to Mando, just Mando's now recording it and sending it back to him. End episode.
I don't know who you are or what you're doing, but I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you.
Yes. It was definitely a taken call.
That's exactly what it was.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
But Liam Neeson's already been in Star Wars, so we can't bring him back.
I mean, we could. It's a Force ghost.
They just bring him back as like some mercenary guy. Nobody cares.
Oh, that's right. We can't because he had learned it, but he didn't learn it in time to. Yes, right. Forgot about that.
No, yeah, and he's a Force ghost in Clone Wars, or in Rebels.
Oh, so they did finally make sure that he figured it out. Okay, yeah, good.
I trained Batman. Sorry.
I trained Batman. I'm Ra's al Ghul.
And so then Ra's we got to the concept art at the end. And every single concept art piece showed more action than was actually depicted on film. Like, there was a point where he's still in his Mandalorian outfit, and Bill Burr's dragging him into the transport. And then there's a part where Cara Dune and Finnick are doing their little sharpshooting, and there's, like, 100 more types of... And they cut down the action. Like, even when he's overwhelmed by pirates, they didn't depict it on screen. The concept art is so much more action-y.
Always.
But that's how
they shouldn't show the concept art. It looks like a better show every time.
I know. I feel the same way. That's why I stop every time now.
Oh, really?
I'm a concept art kind of guy. Like,
I watch
it
just so I can talk about it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good though. I like the concept art. I feel like Disney needs to make those like posters. I feel like they would make a killing if they were to sell those as posters.
They will at some point, I'm sure. They'll make like a poster book or something. They usually do.
Yeah, the Force Awakens concept art book is pretty awesome. So,
yep.
Cool.
I liked the episode when I finished watching it. But as we're talking about it now, there was a lot of dumb things.
And that's the thing. I feel like we're all, every episode we focus on the dumb things. Like,
no, I mentioned the good thing. They had the shockwave grenade.
That's true. You did mention the one good thing this entire season. I don't, is that the first positive thing that you said?
No, the dialogue was good. They just could have gone further.
That's all.
But that's the thing. We sit here and dissect it in a very cynical way. But all in all, if you like just fun TV,
it's still Star Wars. I enjoy it. It's fine.
Yeah. Duh. Always having fun. Exactly. It's just plot holes. The plot holes aren't small in this show. Like, they're pretty obvious. They're like big, gigantic, like torpedo holes in the story. It's not like little tiny pinholes.
Well, and that's my problem is I keep seeing things in being a non-Star Wars person and watching this show from start to finish with no background on this stuff and seeing certain things and going, ooh, I can't wait for this to come up again. And it never does.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. I don't know. That just kind of takes me. But this is, that's only really been happening in this season. Last season was solid.
I think I need to watch last season again and analyze it more. But
yeah, we didn't really do we didn't do this to last season. So maybe that's why last season was so good.
Yeah.
Don't analyze your Star Wars. That's our takeaway.
One other thing I did want to mention is that the CGI of the Slave One was so much better than the CGI of the transport vehicle. The transport vehicle looked like it rolled out of the computer, but the Slave One looked like it fit in the setting.
Yeah, I felt like I was watching an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. I was like, what is this?
Well, bad. Cool.
Cool.
Anywho, hey, should we do an ad?
Yes.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
That was episode 7, and that means we got the season finale. This time next week, you'll be listening to our thoughts on the season finale. Is Mandalorian going to get Grogu back? Are they going to defeat Moff Gideon? Is nothing going to be resolved, and we're just going to wait till season 3? Tune in next week to find out.
Now, did you guys see... Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is Luke Skywalker going to show up?
Fingers crossed.
Is it better than Ezra? I don't know.
Is it going to be Ezra? Who knows?
Real quick, how mad were you on that text that I sent you?
For the first second, I was pretty mad. And then I realized.
So a little backstory before we leave here. I sent a text saying TPS reports. That took me out of it. And then I was like, ooh, I'll follow it up with something fun. And I can't believe Mark Hamill. What the hell?
And it was like Friday, middle of the day. You didn't even wait until like Sunday.
No, it was Saturday. No, was it Saturday?
No, it wasn't. It was Friday. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
It was like Friday afternoon. Yeah.
And Trevor writes back immediately, WTF! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I'm like, fantastic. Oh no, he's going to be mad at me now. Fantastic. I should tell him real quick that I was kidding.
It was funny.
While you were watching it, were you happy? Like, in the back of your head, were you sitting there going, what if Mark Hamill does show up?
I would have been more mad if he did, but I didn't think about it again after that.
Alright.
So, to everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed and we'll talk to you next time.
Alright, Prog out.
DeLorean Wolfgang, roll out.